Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14, ending in verse 16, where we see that Jesus and the throne he sits on is unlike any king's throne on this earth. This is because it is a throne of grace. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14. We hope you're blessed.
Whatever you bring to him this morning, yes, confession is a big part of communion. Whatever you bring to him this morning, I'm going to set you straight right at the beginning. You can be at ease. You can settle your mind. Whatever you bring to him at the end of this service, when you go back to your seat and you hold those elements that speak of his broken body and his shed blood, whatever you bring to him, he's not distracted by it. That's incredible. That's incredible. You go tell confession to a priest, he might open up that little screen thing and look at you and say, you, what did you do? You know, there could be problems. You come tell one of us, we might not be able to keep our jaw from hitting the ground. You go and tell Jesus, he sympathizes with you. He sympathizes with your littleness. He sympathizes with your weakness. He sympathizes. There's this softness, if you would, to him, toward you, when you're weak. I'm not collecting my thoughts. I'm just letting that process. This is not, you can't just sit here, like, tell me something that I don't know. Or tell me something that is unique to him compared to any other God. That is completely unique. This is God Almighty, without sin, absolute absence of sin. That's the classical Greek rendition of that without sin there at the end of verse 15. He's complete, he's flawless. And yet he sympathizes with you. He has sympathy toward you. There's this spirit of grace that he has that he constantly disperses to his children every time they come. It's just unheard of. I don't know what else to tell you guys. That's absolutely unheard of. We act at times as Christians like that sinner again. Here they are. And we act like we are so frustrated. We've had it up to here. You know, they've done it this many. I can't deal with them anymore. I can't even look at them. How do I trust them? How do I leave them? When we ourselves are sinners. Jesus Christ is in this place this morning. And in his person, he is not distracted by the grotesqueness of your sin. He bids you to come. He's also undistracted in his position. His position. He has passed through the heavens, it tells us here. The veils of the heavens. The Old Testament priests, one day a year, got to go behind the veil in the temple or the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was, where the presence of God was, abiding there. He got to go back there one time a year, one day a year, on Yom Kippur. That's it. And he got to go back there, and he got to make atonement for the sins of the people, including himself. Jesus Christ is a superior high priest. He's the greatest of all time. He stands alone because he's undistracted in his position in that he didn't just go behind that veil, although that veil was torn in two from top to bottom the day that he gave up his spirit on Calvary's Hill. He didn't just do that. He passed through the atmospheric veil, the stellar veil or the planetary veil, however you want to term it, into the third heavens where the throne of God is. And he's seated there at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. In his position, he's undistracted. In his position, he's occupying this office because of his person, where he is constantly bidding you and I to come boldly before his throne of grace. I'll explain what you're going to get when you come, but he's in his ready position, if you would. Like I tell my little leaguers, I help coach baseball for my son's team. Ready position infield. What is it? Be in your squat. Have your mitt touching the dirt. Why? Because 7, 8-year little boys are looking at the birds. They're picking the grass. They're blowing flowers. They're doing cartwheels. They're laying down in the outfield. So often we have to say, Coach Clifford and I, hey, ready position. They get on their toes. They put their mitts to the dirt. And there they are, bent, ready to go. So if a ground ball comes, they can field it. So if a line drive comes, they can stop it. So if a pop fly comes, they can get it. Ready position. At all times, be ready. Jesus Christ is in his ready position. Always. He's constantly on that throne of grace, not a throne of judgment. The throne of judgment, the throne of God, has become the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ. And he's sitting on that throne of grace, and he's constantly, this is biblical. You need to understand what the scriptures say about Jesus, not what your preconceived notions are. Not what another man says. The Bible doesn't need to be docked up. It doesn't need to be souped up. It needs to be unleashed and let it be spoken to God's people. Jesus Christ is seated on the throne, and he is saying to us, the tenses of verse 16 is, this is what you should be doing. You should be coming boldly before the throne of grace, because I'm undistracted in my office. I'm not distracted. I am distracted. Sometimes people go, Pastor Dave, you seem distracted. Yeah, I'm very distracted. I'm going to the hospital and seeing people suffer. I'm burying people, watching widows and widowers mourn. I'm watching marriages break up. I'm watching infidelity and adultery penetrate the church. This drug epidemic penetrate the church just like the world. No difference. My heart is breaking. It's bleeding. It takes me till Wednesday afternoon to catch my breath from second service. I give every single thing that I have. I leave it right here on this stage as if it were my last sermon that I'm ever going to preach. And then I try to parent my kids. I'm on the field 5, 6 days a week, just like you. I'm not looking for anyone to say, wow, you're amazing. I'm nothing. I'm mortal man. I'm distracted. I'm overwhelmed. My heart hurts. I watch the news. I'm perplexed like you are. I look at Virginia Beach and I think, Lord, when is it going to be Rochester, New York? I'm worried about my kids like you're worried about your kids. I'm overwhelmed by things, finances, whatever it would be. I got it going on too. My pool is leaking. I hope yours is too. Of course I'm distracted. Of course our elders, our pastors, sometimes you're talking to us and you think, are they even listening? We're trying. We do our best. Honest to God, we pray that we could be all here when we're here. Hey, wherever you are, Jimmy, that said, be all there. Great quote, hard to do. Ideas are easy, life is hard. Sometimes, Jim, it's hard to be all there. You know, if you can hear me, it's hard sometimes. He knows it too. We're not always able to be all here. Sometimes we just aren't here. Physically we are, mentally we're not, or spiritually we're battling like you battle, but we got to get up in front of you. Jesus Christ is undistracted in his position. He never wavers. He's in heaven. He's outside of all the distractions. So he's always game ready. He's always in his office of this throne of grace. I hope that the throne of grace ideas, I hope it becomes revolutionary to you this morning, the way that I'm describing it to you. He is undistracted, on his toes, mitts in the dirt, if you would, looking at you and he's saying, come. Come boldly unto my throne. What does boldly mean? Arrogantly? No. Haughty? No. Let's rewind to the beginning of the service. Take your shoes off. We're standing on holy ground. It means come confidently, because you're going to get what you've always got, grace and mercy and help in time of need. You know what to expect. And that leads me to the ending there, but you're going to get grace and you're going to get mercy. So because of that, you just keep coming. Why wouldn't you keep coming? The author is saying, keep coming to the throne of grace. He's undistracted. His eyes are on you. His ears are open to you. His arms are like they were on Calvary, ready to receive you. Just come. Boldly. Classical Greek, using this word here, it's the vernacular in the classical Greek. The word picture is how a husband speaks to his wife behind closed doors. How a wife speaks to the husband behind closed doors. How parents speak to their children, children speak to their parents. How do we do this behind closed doors? Very candidly, very openly. There is no filter. There's just this, here it is. This is what I'm going through. I don't want the rest of the world to know. I don't want second service at Calvary Chapel to know, but I need you to know I'm ready to explode. I'm ready to lose my mind. I'm not going to make it another day. Here it is, because on the other side of my words are trusted ears. That's the word that's selected here by the Holy Spirit of God for you and I when he says you come boldly. You come confidently and you bring it all to Jesus. You give everything that's on your heart and your mind to Jesus. He's undistracted in his person. He's God, he's holy, he's just and true. And his throne is a powerful throne. And his scepter is a powerful scepter. And his eyes are fierce. And his hair is white like wool. And I get all of that. But he's also a sympathetic God who sits there and he looks you in the eyes in his ready position. He says, I know. I know. And I get it. And I understand. And I'm not, this is not just an intellectual connection. This is an experiential connection. What you're saying resounds. I remember. I felt it. I experienced it. You just keep coming. And then he's undistracted in his provision. All he's going to give you is grace and mercy and help. Y'all know what mercy and grace are. Mercy is God not giving to you what you deserve. Grace is God giving to you what you don't deserve. Don't you harden your heart right now and close your eyes and your head and your thinking to Jesus. Listen to what he's telling you. Because if you're going to fall away, the exhortation here is let us hold fast to our confession. If you fall away, don't you blame Jesus. If you walk out of here today and you're not healed and restored, don't you blame Jesus. This is not a Jesus problem. It's a us problem. He has given us everything that we need. He is telling you in his word this morning, you come and you come boldly, you come with expectancy, you come with confidence, and all you're going to get, first of all, you're going to obtain mercy. God is going to, just like you obtained mercy from the get-go, you're going to get mercy again today. You come to God this morning, you come to Jesus, beloved, whoever you are, you come to Jesus, he's going to give you mercy. He's not going to give to you what you deserve. His mercies are new this morning. June 2nd, 2019. June 1st, they're over. Mike Pass used them all. He got engaged yesterday. They're all gone. Faith has taken them. Faith, Lord, has taken all of the mercies. They're used up for yesterday. Today, the mercies are new. Brand new mercies for a brand new day. Great is his faithfulness. God is ready to right now not give to you what you deserve. Mercies for your past, right? This is what I deserve based on my past. God says, I know about your past. Remember the few verses before? All things are naked and open before the one to whom you have to do. I know about it. Here's mercy for that. Well, great, God. I'm scared of my today. I got grace. You got mercy for your yesterday, and you got grace for your today and your tomorrow. What is grace? God saying this, I'm going to give to you what you don't deserve. I'm not going to give to you what you do deserve, and I am to give to you what you don't deserve. Mercy would have been good enough. If God just said, I'm going to save you by my mercy, you're not going to go to hell. That would have been enough. But he says, I'm not going to just save you from hell. I'm going to save you unto heaven. His provision. To give help in time of need. Helps in time of need is a seasonal phrase. It's to give you the help that you need in this season, at this moment, for this day. It's active. It's active in its grammar. It's right now in this moment. It's not the help that you needed yesterday. It's not the help that you needed tomorrow. It's the help that you need right now to make it through another day. I'm ready to give it to you because all I got here is mercy and grace, mercy, grace, mercy, grace. I'm going to keep giving it. I'm in my ready position, just like gobbling up ground balls and throwing them to first. I'm going to just keep, here it is, mercy, here it is, grace. Just throwing it right down the center every single time. Say I murdered somebody. I don't believe that everyone's catching this right now, so I'm going to do my best with this futile illustration to give it to you like this. Say I murdered somebody. It's caught red-handed on cameras. There's no denying. I'm going to jail. I'm going to prison. I'm going to the chair. I'm going to be electrocuted to death. It's over. I'm put in prison. It's the eve of my execution. I'm given my last meal. I eat my meal. I go to sleep. I wake up the next day. The jailer, the guard, he comes, he opens up my cell. He brings me out. There I am in chains. Walk into the chair. I'm getting ready to be executed. Right, I took a life. Rightfully so. I'm going to go to that chair. On my way there, I'm walking there. On my way there, another deputy comes, grabs a man who's walking me. He says, you stay right there for a moment. says something to his ear. The guy comes back. He says, come on, turn around. We're going back to your cell. I said, what do you mean we're going back to my cell? How's this happening? Well, the governor here, he knows that you're guilty, whatever it would be here, but you've been exonerated. You're going back to your office or to your cell there, and you're gonna just not have to deal with this. I don't have any more answers for you. You're just going to go back there and figure it out later. This is all I got right now. This is what we're going to do. I'd walk back, and I think, wow, this is amazing. I'm not getting what I do deserve. That's mercy. I'm going back to my cell. It's not where I want to be, but it's better than that chair where my life's going to be taken from me. At least I'll see my babies another day. At least I'll see my wife another day. At least something, you know, there's something to be thankful for. It's good. It's not great, but it's a lot better than what I was facing. So there I go back to my jail cell, and I'm put in there. Solitary confinement. I'm sitting there at Attica State Prison, locked up, blown away by what just happened, thinking, am I being pranked right now? What's going on? As I'm thinking these thoughts, a jailer comes back. The same one that just brought me back comes back hours later. Opens up the jail cell, comes in, comes over to me. He's got a bag. The bag is my belongings. He's got another key, takes it off there, his chain, takes off my chains for me, gives me back my belongings. He says, not only do you not have to go to the chair to be electrocuted for your wrongdoings, Aaron, for your murder, but you've also been set free. The governor has written this letter. You've been set free, and you will not have to pay the charges. You're actually going to be able to leave here today. Like, and on top of here's your belongings, there's a Rolex here, and there's a Armani suit and shoe loafer shoes, and you can wear them if you want. You don't have to wear them if you don't want them, but it's yours either which way. The governor is giving you those things, and this would be fascinating, and I probably wouldn't even be able to hear another word that he said. But then he goes like this, and there's a Rolls Royce waiting for you outside. And the governor's son's going to probably pass you on your way to it. He's going to be coming in because he's going to the chair for you. The governor has issued a command that his son, someone's got to pay. He can't do this here. Someone's got to pay. So his son is going to go to your seat, and he is going to be put to death for your wrongdoing. But you're going to get in the very Rolls Royce that he got out of, and you're going to go somewhere. You're going to actually go back to the governor's house. And the boy who just got killed, he's in California. He had nothing to do with what you just did in New York. But he came to pay that price for your wrongdoing, and you're going to swap places with him. You're actually going to go back to the governor's house, and you're going to get his bedroom, and you're going to get his possessions, and everything that was his is now yours. Your places have been exchanged. But it's not over that. Everything that the governor, so whatever was in the will for that son who did nothing that's now dead, whatever was in the will for him, his name, he's actually right now at the attorney's office changing his son's name to your name. And everything that was supposed to be his son's is now going to be yours, including the governor's mansion. Everything is yours. Murderer. It's grace. It's a lousy illustration, comparatively speaking, but you get it. Mercy. You don't got to go and be executed. Grace. Not only do you not got to go and be executed, you're on your way to a place that you would never, ever belong. Beside there be unmerited favor upon your life. There is a Jesus right now on a throne. All the thrones in the world that you can call it. Throne of power. Throne of judgment. And I think of some neat names. If you're somebody special, you'd maybe call your throne. Think of all the things he says. He says to the writer here, call it a throne of grace. And he's undistracted in his person. You're never going to stumble, Jesus. He's undistracted in his position. Nothing's vying for his attention like everything down here is vying for ours. We got yards, we got kids, we got sports, we got second jobs, we got mortgages, we got the future to put away. We got all these things. Other relationships, how that in and of itself is complicated. I got to make sure I'm good with my spouse, my friends, my employees, my employer, all these other things. Jesus, I got nothing else going on. Whatever else I got here, though, is a resource that's at my disposal for my commands. And I'm undistracted in my position, sitting on the throne of grace, ready to disperse mercy, grace, help. Mercy, grace, help. In the back, mercy, grace, help in time of need. But listen, this was no cheap thing. It's free. There's no cost on our end. But it was no cheap thing for God to do this for us. This cost Jesus everything so that we can have this opportunity this morning. And that's the part where I got to do a good job as a pastor. Even if you don't do a good job as a listener, I got to do a good job as an articulator of God's word, as an orator, as a representative of Jesus Christ. I've got to do a good job of telling you that this cost heaven everything. For unto us a child is born, unto us on his end a son was given. For us were the recipients. Ah, oh, child's born. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, that's all great news. Right, we're the recipients. But unto him a son was given. So that we can have all of those attributes of Jesus. We have to come to this table. At least I believe that we do. So thankful. So overwhelmed so that his love can constrain us and draw us and propel us. That we are able to be in this position this morning. That we have an undistracted throne of grace 24/7. You try coming to my office desk, it's not going to happen. I can't just have people coming in as they want. I've had people get mad about it. Oh, I can't just come into your office whenever I want. When can you do that anywhere? One guy said, I wish I could come to your office whenever I want to. Where do you get to do that anywhere? Nowhere. And I'm just this little itty-bitty guy in this on the speck of the earth here, this little village of Spencerport, the few hundred people of church I'm pastoring. This is nothing compared to some church sizes, whatever it would be. I'm nothing. And still, there's got to be order. I can't facilitate 800 people's needs, whatever there are that go here, and maintain my sanity. You got a high friend in high places. And apart from him and what he has done, we have no business coming boldly whenever we want before this throne of grace. But because of Jesus, we can and we do. So when we're in a service like this, and I call Dan and the team, and I'll do that now, forward, and I'll invite the guys, Mike, whoever's helping you, Mike, up, Josiah, whoever's helping, Larry, I don't know who it is, but whoever's helping to do the communion here this morning, we don't just come up here, you know, kind of, whatever, thinking about what we're doing next, we're going to eat for lunch, it's almost 12:30, we're hungry, you know, we don't do that. We come and we say, thank you, Jesus. Hearts overwhelmed.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.